What's going on, people? Welcome back to Clown Questions, the show where there are no dumb questions. I'm your host, Matt K. Maurer, and the question on my mind today is, should the Packers trade Jair? I'll answer it real quick. I hope not, but I'll attempt to expand upon that question and some other questions. No guests today, but we got a first-year interruption with Paul George, Game of the Week, Goosebump Moments of the Week, as always, so good show for y'all. Who's down to clown?
That's a clown question, bro.
So should the Packers trade Jair? It was reported at the Combine in Indianapolis this week that the Packers are apparently shopping Jair Alexander. They're seeking out a trade for him. They're listening to offers. They're probably making offers. And I'm not happy about it. I'm a Packers fan, as you can see from the decor and the shirt. Jones, thank you for the flag. I got to go hang Jones' Packer flag that he gave me up. I don't love it. I don't love it because I love Jair Alexander as a player. He's one of the best corners in the league when healthy, in my opinion. But obviously, maybe that's where the trade comes in. He has struggled to stay healthy. I can't remember the last time he's played a full 16-game season. And he might have played his last snap as a Packer, which would be very sad for me. I was about to sneeze there. That's why I was kind of slowing up. I didn't sneeze. Don't you hate when you got to sneeze and you can't? This trade makes me want to sneeze, but don't trade him. I don't think we should trade him unless we get maybe Myles Garrett, or if we get some first rounders. If the trade was Jair for Garrett, we'd probably have to throw in some first rounders of our own to send over to the Browns. But I'd be okay with it. Jair and a first for Garrett, I don't know if that'd be enough. Jair and two firsts for Garrett, I would probably still do it. I would draw the line at three first rounders, but I don't want to trade Jair, not only because of how talented he is, because he's one of the most entertaining, I think one of the funniest personalities in the league, and I'm glad the Packers have him. He's got that dog in him. He's got, it's a trait, cornerbacks kind of need to have to be successful. I think it's the hardest position, so you got to be a little cocky. You got to be good at shit talking. Jair's good at all of that stuff. He's just maybe not the best at staying healthy. So my official answer is no, the Packers should not trade Jair unless we get Myles Garrett in return or maybe some first round picks. Maybe then we should do it and move forward with our young secondary there. The next question is also a question related to the Packers. Should we ban the tush push? Now, it was announced earlier this week that the Packers, I believe our president, or just us as an organization, we submitted a proposal to the NFL to ask for a rule change, to ask for them to ban the tush push. The tush push is obviously one of the many plays we couldn't stop when the Philadelphia Eagles beat us in the wild card round. If you think about it, if they had called that a helmet-to-helmet hit on the first drive, they don't score that touchdown, 15. Maybe we only lose 15-10. That's obviously copium. You might say the Packers played the Eagles tougher than a lot of teams in the playoffs. You definitely could say that for the Chiefs and Commanders. Rams, their offense played a lot better than ours. I'm getting off topic, but the Packers apparently want to ban the tush push. I got that notification, and then like a couple minutes later, I feel like I got a notification that said a mystery team wants to ban the tush push. Everyone knew it was the Packers because those reports were coming out before, and then after the fact, someone's like, "Oh, it's a mystery team." Maybe maybe some Packers brass were kind of PO'd that it got out that we're the team that wanted to ban it. But should we ban it? I don't think so. I think it's a fair play. I don't necessarily like that you can push another player into the end zone, but like how many amazing runs from like Marshawn Lynch would we have to take away retroactively if we ban this play. If you're not allowed to push a player forward, you know, some of those beast quakes, you know, in retrospect would not count under these new rules. So now I don't think we should ban it, but I'm not going to be mad if they do end up banning it because it came from the Packers. So clearly we think we're a bit of a disadvantage. Jordan Love is not a great quarterback for the Tush Push. Malik Willis is pretty decent for it. But yeah, if the Packers want to ban it and they get it banned, I'm not going to really be up in arms, but no, I don't think you need to ban it. Just try to stop it. Packers, clearly we don't know how to stop it. So we're taking them to court instead of, you know, figuring out the X's and O's there. Let's keep talking football. There's been no football games, but it seems like all the news is football related. Can Kelce get another? That's my next question. And the technical answer to can he get another is yes, he can get another championship. He can get another Super Bowl, another ring. But my take is no. The reason I'm talking about this is because it was announced. I think Kelce even said it on Pat McAfee's show. He is expected to return for his 13th NFL season, you know, amid rumors that he was contemplating retirement. So can he win another championship? Absolutely. But if you're asking for my take, I don't think he will. That's not to say I don't think Patrick Mahomes and the Chiefs won't win another championship. I think they will at some point here. I just think it will be without Kelce. He'll be past his time. Kelce would need to win a Super Bowl in the next 2, maybe 3 years. He can't have, you know, he's not got 20 years in him. I don't think any tight end has ever really played that long. So you'd need the Chiefs to win it in the next 2 years. And I think they're going to have a bit of a hiatus out of going to, you know, after going to what, 4 out of 6 Super Bowls, 3 straight, you know, I think there's going to be, it'll be a bit like the Patriots. There'll be a lull, you know, Josh Allen and Lamar Jackson and, you know, maybe Joe Burrow, owner of Burrowhead, AKA Arrowhead. I think it's one of those guys' turn to make the championship next year. So I don't think Kelce will, but he can. He's back. In other Chiefs news, they are going to franchise tag their star guard, Trey Smith. It's a 1-year, $23 million guaranteed contract, fully guaranteed. He's getting all $23 million of that. I feel like players probably hate getting franchise tag because it's like, yeah, I'm getting $20 million fully guaranteed this year, but I could have been up for a $80 to $100 million contract. Why would I want just a 1-year deal? If I get hurt, you know, I'm screwed. So Trey Smith probably not happy about it, but it's a lot of money. So, you know, I'm sure he'll take it and he'll try to get Patty Mahomes back to a 4th consecutive championship, but I don't think that will happen. In other football news, the Bills are signing Khalil Shakir to a 4-year, $60 million extension. Shakir has quite the connection with Josh Allen. Some are even saying he's the wide receiver one. You know, it's probably a little competition between him and Amari Cooper, who I'm not sure if Cooper's a free agent or not, but they evidently believe in Khalil after giving him a 4-year extension here. Good move for the Bills. And I didn't do any research in this part, so I don't know if it's a good move or not, but the Jaguars have finally hired a GM. They fired Trent Baalke a couple of weeks ago, and they have hired James Gladstone to be their next general manager. I got nothing for y'all here. No analysis, just news. I got to stop doing this thing where I bring news with no analysis. But James Gladwell, welcome to the Jaguars. Let's talk some basketball after I awkwardly cleared my throat. And maybe I should turn off the notifications on my phone. I'm waiting to see if there's any breaking news. That's one of the most annoying things that happens to me when I record this show is I'll do the whole show, you know, upload it. It'll be almost ready to go on YouTube. And then I'll get a notification from Shams Charania, Jimmy Butler traded to the Warriors. It's like, damn it. You know, if I had waited a little bit, a day later, I would have had that news, but I don't. So, we'll see what news I end up missing here, depending on when you watch this, but biggest news, I would argue the biggest news of the week came out of the WNBA, and it is leading me to this question. Is Taurasi the GOAT? Absolutely, yes. Diana Taurasi is the greatest player of all time, the greatest of all time in women's basketball, the WNBA specifically. And I don't really think there's much of a debate to be had here. Taurasi is a three-time WNBA champ, 11-time All-Star. She's retired now, but she retires as the WNBA's all-time leading scorer. She has almost 3,000 points more than second place. She's the only player in WNBA history with 10,000 career points. Obviously, first ballot Hall of Famer, but I think if you're talking WNBA GOAT debate, which is not nearly as hotly contested as the LeBron Jordan or the even the Brady Mahomes GOAT debate, but if you ever caught in a WNBA GOAT debate, tell them it's Taurasi. She's the GOAT. Give her her flowers. Absolute legend. Absolute legend. Another somewhat of a legend. I think a lot of people would call him a legend. I'm not, you know, I don't keep up too much with, offensive linemen, even though I just talked about that Chiefs franchise tag. But someone else retired. It was 9-time Pro Bowler Jason Peters. Peters, I think, played a lot for the Seahawks. I think he was on the Eagles. I think he even played for the Cowboys. But maybe not first ballot, but Jason Peters sounds like a Hall of Famer to me. 9 times in the Pro Bowl as an offensive lineman. That's just straight up longevity right there to be that good of an offensive lineman year after year at, you know, one of the hardest positions to play. But yeah, if you check on Jason Peters LinkedIn, you would see his new post that the Seahawks have ended up hiring him as a quote unquote veteran mentor. So I guess happy for happy trails to Jason Peters and Diana Taurasi in retirement. Both of them should be Hall of Famers in their respective sports. Speaking of Hall of Famers, is Pop the GOAT? Greg Popovich. So this is Pop the GOAT? That's a clown question, because we should be way more concerned about his health than, you know, his all-time standing compared to other NBA coaches. But basically, Popovich has informed the San Antonio Spurs he will not be returning this season. Unfortunate there. He wants to kind of build that future around, obviously, Wemby's not playing the rest of the year, but, you know, Fox and all those young guys. But he won't be doing that. He won't be returning this season, still recovering from a stroke he suffered in November. And apparently his NBA future is also uncertain. They don't know if he'll end up, you know, returning or coaching again. But, you know, I know Popovich, there's nothing more in the world he loves than coaching basketball. It's his favorite thing to do. And I know in his head, he wants to kind of usher in Wembanyama and Fox. You know, I don't think he's expecting to win a championship with them, but I think he kind of wants to lay the bricks, lay the groundwork for those guys who should be the future of the Spurs franchise for the next decade, you know, health, you know, God forbid. Yeah, Popovich, let's get back to the question. He's the GOAT. He's the GOAT in my book. So Pop, if you know, no, you don't have to feel the need to come back. I know you want to, you know, usher in this next generation, but you have nothing more to prove. You're an all-time great, and in my book, the greatest of all time. Popovich is the all-time wins leader amongst any coach in NBA history. You know, and a lot of people would say maybe Phil Jackson's the GOAT, but, you know, my response there would be, you know, he had Michael Jordan, Shaquille O'Neal, Kobe Bryant. He had all these greats, you know, not to discredit Tim Duncan or Manu or David Robinson or any of the Spurs greats, but Phil Jackson had the GOAT. So that takes him out of the GOAT debate there for me. And then another person you could argue is the NBA coaching GOAT is Red Auerbach. I think I'm pronouncing that right. But Auerbach had Bill Russell, the winningest player ever. You know, no player had that many championships. No coach. You know, Bill Russell had another one as a coach. Red Auerbach also had Bob Cousy, who I wanted to bring up Bob Cousy because of a funny quote from my bro Jonna the other day. He said, the quote he said was, Tyler Gowen is more skilled than Bob Cousy ever was. And I thought that was hilarious. I wrote down the quote, obviously. Is he wrong, though? I don't know if he's wrong. I just think back to, like, videos of Bob Cousy dribbling around in a circle, you know, just no handles at all. So my brother thinks there's no doubt in his mind that Tyler Gowan's a more talented, more skilled player than Bob Cousy. So please leave a comment below. Let me know in the comments, who's a better basketball player all time, Tyler Gowan or Bob Cousy? Shout out Gween, a.k.a. Gowan. But yeah, Popovich, back to him. He's the GOAT, better than Phil Jackson, better than Red Auerbach, just because of his sustained excellence. He's won a championship in three different decades, you know, with three different top guys, all-time wins leader. He's the GOAT. Pop, you know, we love you. Focus on your health. You have nothing more to prove. And yeah, you're the GOAT. That's all I can say there. And all I can say here is maybe to this question, are the Lakers contenders? Maybe. Maybe. Probably not. I was talking to my brother. I'm like, if we can just get through the playoffs and avoid dominant centers, we can maybe, you know, sneak our way into the finals. And then I went down the list. Thunder, they got Chet Holmgreen, Isaiah Hartenstein, Rockets, Sengun, Grizzlies, Jaren Jackson Jr., you know, Timberwolves, Nasri. There's great centers everywhere. Not to rag even more on Jackson Hayes, but I don't know. I don't think we're contenders. I was talking to Nemo yesterday. He's always talking up his Celtics, which he should, because they're obviously one of the top five teams in the league. But my official take is I don't think the Lakers are going to win the finals. I don't think we're going to get to the finals. But I think if we do get to the finals and it's against the Celtics, we're going to win. I think we match up well against the Celtics. Any other Eastern Conference team, I don't think we can beat. But if it's the Celtics, I think the Lakers win it. It would be absolute cinema. Another vaunted Lakers Celtics rivalry matchup in the finals there. But I don't know. I had to ask something about the Lakers because Luka Doncic had his revenge game. It was in Los Angeles, so I don't think it will be quite as incredible as when he returns to Dallas. That you'll need to get your popcorn for that. But in his first game against his former team, Luka balled out. Didn't shoot great from three-point land, only 1 for 7. But in every other facet of the game, balled out. Maybe not defense, but in every other facet, he finished with a line of 19, 15, and 12. A triple-double in his first game against his former team. He's now, I think, the third player in NBA history to record a triple-double against every single team in the league. So that's a cool stat. I think Westbrook and LeBron are the other two. But yeah, Lakers, contenders, maybe. Probably not, though. Dwight Howard, hit us up. Still desperate to get another big man in there. But let's, last thing on the NBA before I get to first year interruption with Paul George is the T-Wolves are signing Bones Highland to a 2-way deal. Really like that signing for the T-Wolves. Bone Highland, just a good all-around player and one of the coolest names in the league, Bones. You can't, how do you get cooler than Bones Highland? Not a lot of names cooler than that, and not a lot of names cooler than Podcast P. Yes, Podcast P. Welcome to First Year Interruption this week with Paul George. Basically, he said on his most recent podcast that for the final, you know, stretch of the season where they need to make the playoffs, he's going to take a little break from podcasting. His podcast is called Podcast P, so the jokes just really write themselves. Maybe this decision came after it went viral that at one point he had posted more podcast clips on YouTube than he had made field goals in the year. So just an all-time stat there. But shout out my fellow podcaster, Podcast P. Sorry to roast you for probably the length of this segment. But here he is, First Year Interruption with Paul George, a.k.a. Podcast P.
But before we wrap, fellas, it's no secret. This season is up to this point, man. It hasn't been what we envisioned. I know my goal when I first signed with Philadelphia was to bring a championship to these amazing fans here. I still remain positive about that, and that is still the case and where I'm coming from. With that being said, though, I want to let the Podcast P family know that after today's episode with Dwight, I plan to take a break from the pod just to focus on getting my body right, getting mentally right, and, you know, help this squad make a push towards our goal to finish the season out, give ourselves a chance to be in contentions to compete for a championship. I won't front. The desire to get back to shooting in person with my guys as well is the forefront of, you know, this hiatus as well. I look forward to us three being back together and doing this as we once started this. So we'll be back on that note. Be sure to lock in with us because we got some big things in store in our future. In the meantime, y'all be easy. From Podcast P, love and peace.
People are absolutely flaming Paul George for this. They're like, oh, now you want to take basketball serious. The Sixers have been god awful. They lost by like 30 points to a bad Chicago Bulls team, a Chicago Bulls team that is tanking. The Chicago Bulls team that is just tanking following the Zach LaVine trade. So it has been really bad, really ugly for the 76ers this year. That take from Goose on a previous podcast, the NBA preview, is aging like a fine wine. He called them the Philadelphia 76ers, you know, basically saying they're not a serious team right now. But Paul George, he's about to lock in. Like I said, people have been flaming him, but I'm looking at the standings. Sixers are only, I think, 2.5 games back of the 10 seed. So I think they could sneak into the playoffs. I don't think they can make a playoff push. We'll see what happens with Embiid. He's always injured. Everyone always makes that joke because it's true. You know, Tom Brady's more likely to make a Super Bowl than he is to play a game. But basically, Shams reported that Embiid has had to receive regular and frequent injections in his knee in order to play. So I don't know. They said, you know, they're not at the point of giving him season-ending surgery, but I don't know. I'd like to see the Sixers go on a little run, but doesn't seem likely with how they're playing. But shout out to Paul George. Since you know, taking this break from podcasting, he's averaging 25 points a game, 8 rebounds a game, 7 assists a game, and 4 steals per game. Granted, he's only played one. I got to stop vaping during the podcast, but you know, granted, he is averaging 25, 8, 7, and 4 since, you know, stopping the pod. But he's only played one game. That was his one game stat line. But, you know, pretty good average in that one game. They did end up losing that game. So he has a 0% winning percentage since the podcast. But, yeah, I don't know. I'm rooting for the Sixers. I've always been a big Embiid fan. Sixers were one of my, you know, top 3 favorite NBA teams at one point. They're not really anymore. Still like Embiid, but yeah, tough team to root for, tough team to watch right now. I'm hoping Podcast P gets back into Playoff P form, though, and we see the Philadelphia 76ers in a play-in game here soon. Last thing, actually 2 more things to finish out the show, but of course this first thing is going to be the Goosebump Moments of the Week. Let me take a little sip of water to get my commentator voice ready. The PFT commentator, they call me. But the number 10 moment of the week came against my Wisconsin Badgers. We absolutely choked this game, but still a top 10 moment, unfortunately, from Oregon here. So number 10 goosebump moment of the week is Jackson Shellstad hitting a nasty 3 to send it to overtime in Madison. Damn.
16,000 vertical here at the Kohl Center. Shellstad to tie it.
Oh!
Ice water in his veins. 66 all.
Number 9, they lost, but Sonia Citron hits a clutch 3 to send Notre Dame to OT.
Citron poised and hits Sonia
Citron ties the game. Number 8, Ja Morant. Just kidding. This is a replay. By Sonya Citron. So awkward, y'all. Number 8, Ja Morant hits a tough floater to force overtime. Morant drives for the tie. It's in with 1.4. Number 7, Brian Campbell gets a miracle bounce off a tree en route to his first ever PGA win at the Mexico Open.
This is going to need a good bounce, and that...
And it got one. It hit the trees and came back.
Oh, my goodness. That is the bounce of a career right there, and it's sitting up. What a shot! And that's taking advantage of a great break. And finally, Brian Campbell can call himself a winner.
Number 6, Ant Edwards blocks Shea in the clutch as the Wolves complete the comeback. By Reed, SGA down the lane, got it to the rim, got blocked by Edwards. The rebound to Minnesota, Chris Finch wants the timeout. Number 5, Otega Owe hits a game-winning circus shot against his former team.
The strong drive, Otega Owe in the clutch, flips it back over his head. Wow, look at this finish. Bodies all around him. That is unbelievable.
Number 4, same game, Brandon Garrison with the block to put away Oklahoma.
Timer down to 3. Fierce, blocked. Kentucky finds a way on the road.
And then Fierce on the other end. Got to the rim, rejected.
Owe. Owe got a piece of it.
And it was Garrison as well. A trio of cats protecting.
Number 3, Ronald Rivera walks it off for Nicaragua in the World Baseball Classic qualifiers.
First, and a flare to right field is down, and Nicaragua walks it off in the 10th.
Number 2, a masked up Nick Claxton wins it on a putback at the buzzer.
Going for the win in regulation. Watford. Johnson for 3. No good. Claxton gets it to go at the buzzer. And Brooklyn shocking everyone here in South Philly if it can.
Number 1 moment of the week. Trey Holloman hits nothing but net on a half court heave at the buzzer to win it for Sparty.
For the 7th straight time. Take a listen.
Absolutely insane shot from Trey Holloman there. Shout out my friend Harry. He provided me with the Mexico Open moment. I would not have known about the Mexico Open, but what a way to get your first win, to bank in a shot, to bank a drive off a tree to stay in the fairway, and then obviously win. His wife was very emotional on the sideline, you know, crying on the sideline, the side grass. I don't know. I'm not a golf guy. But yeah, the half court shot is obviously crazy. The crazy thing I've noticed through, I've done this show a little bit over for, you know, a little bit longer than a year now. What I've noticed from doing all these goosebump moments is they happen. Man, I got to quit vaping. Sorry, y'all. These moments happen a lot more often than you would think. They happen a lot more often than I think. I think in like a year of doing this, I've seen maybe five or six, maybe seven half-court heaves, half-court shots at the buzzer. This is why I love sports. This is why I want to continue building a company. It's really a company if you never made any money. A company called Goosebump Sports, but that's what I love about sports. Sorry, a little sappy sports speech there for you guys. But let's finish out the show with the game of the week. The game of the week this week will be featuring one of my teams, the Wisconsin Badgers. It is the number 11 Wisconsin Badgers at the number 8 Michigan State Spartans. Now, if you're a big college basketball guy, I know what you're thinking. There's 3 other ranked SEC matchups on Saturday. But personally, I'm kind of sick of making SEC games the game of the week because I hate the SEC. The last 2 weeks have been top 10 SEC matchups. There's another top 10 SEC matchup this weekend. I'm going to put blinders on and just pick the Wisconsin game here because it's 2 ranked Big Ten teams instead. But I still do recommend watching Kentucky-Auburn, Alabama-Tennessee, and Texas A&M-Florida. Damn, the SEC is loaded. 3 ranked matchups on a Saturday is crazy. What a conference. What a conference. But screw the SEC. Love the Big Ten. The Big Ten is where it's at. Let's get some Big Ten basketball. So Wisconsin at Michigan State, 11 versus 8. My pick, you already know, my pick is obviously going to be Wisconsin. If we're favored, I'll take the spread. I'll take the minus X points. If we're underdogs on the road to Michigan State, give me the money line. I don't know why they don't release the spreads earlier, but whatever. Just bet on Wisconsin in any fashion you can. I like Wisconsin to win here. You know, 2 words, John Tanjay, 2 words, John Blackwell, 2 words, Gilly James. But yeah, I don't know. Sparty's good. They're flying high after that half court shot they hit against Maryland. But I think maybe a little bit of a letdown spot here after winning that thriller. You know, people frequently refer to Tom Izzo as Mr. March. But on March 2nd, when the Badgers kill the Spartans and all the fans in East Lansing are quiet, everyone will learn why they call Greg Gard the silent assassin.